Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yeah, one of us anyway. It is Bowerly. I'm the one who's not the hero. On News Radio 930 WBEN, my partner in crime, David Bellavia, is out serving the United States Army at present. And he'll be back when he gets back. It's kind of that simple. So yesterday, we did a show about Governor Cuomo and the word he used. And you just heard that story again as part of Tom Puckett's 3 o'clock newscast. And I mentioned that there are words that you cannot use. And it's not like there's a law. But somebody yelled at me because, well, when did we have the vote that said you can't say the N-word unless you're black? Well, there are laws that are laws. And then there are societal conventions, which are not laws, but which just kind of evolve. They just kind of emerge. And if you don't know by now in 2019 that for whatever reason, fair or unfair, that if you are white, you can't say the N-word without serious repercussions, I don't know what to tell you. There are just some things that are because they are. No vote, no law, but it just is that way. It's that way with the C word. It is that way with the F word, a derogative directed toward male homosexuals in the past. But I was kind of surprised that I received a number of texts from friends of mine who were confused as to what I meant when I said the R word. And you can't say the R word. I can't say it on the air, but I will tell you that the R word is a word that was used in the old days as an insult against people of perceived or actual limited mental abilities. They would be called a R. And that word anymore, you can't use it. People who have children who are developmentally disabled and others take great umbrage at the use of the word that starts with the letter R, which is intended to be a derogatory term toward people of said limited abilities. So that is the word I referenced. I had about three people texting me, and I think Tim Wenger had a couple of texts from people saying, what the hell is Bowerly talking about, the R word? But those are the four that will get you into trouble in pretty much any situation. The N word, the C word, the F word, and the R word. And I'm sure there are other words out there. And yeah, the irony, we pointed this out during yesterday's show, the irony that we were talking about Governor Cuomo using the N-word, but then immediately following it with the word WAP, and there I am saying WAP without giving it a second thought, we do have incredible hypocrisy in our society about these things. We truly do. And, of course, I identify as an Italian-American. I may be just slightly Italian, like 3% DNA, but I probably disproportionate number of friends of Italian-American background, and those are the people with whom I identify, particularly those of Southern Italian descent, Sicily, and people who are Calabrese. I don't know. I just tend to really hit it off with those people, and Those people. Ah, I hit it off with those people, of whom Mrs. Nerd is one, I might add. It is 13 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So I don't want to do a show on vaping today. Now, try to contain your disappointment. I know that many of you like all vaping all the time, and you will be disappointed if I don't do a full show on vaping. Try to hide your tears. But I want to go back to something that I was told, and we were all told together on this program last week. And we're not, this is all leading somewhere, so don't turn the radio off thinking, he's really going to talk about vaping again? But we did have a gentleman on from a local vape manufacturing place. And what he told us was pretty alarming. And it is the fact that the local vape shops have seen a huge drop-off in business ever since this anti-vaping hysteria began. Previously, up to 90% of new customers who were going into the local vape shops were doing so because they were in the process of transitioning from combustible cigarettes to vaping, using vaping as a crutch so they wouldn't smoke cigarettes. Since the vaping hysteria began, the local vape shops reportedly have experienced something like a 90% reduction in first-time customers who are coming to vaping as an alternative to combustible cigarettes. Now, again, we're not doing a full show on vaping, I promise. It may come up during the program, but it's not going to be one of those shows. Now, before I go any further with this, just in case you missed the 3 o'clock cash code word, the word is sand, S-A-N-D, sand, like what you get inside your bathing suit and in the most uncomfortable areas when you go to a beach. Sand is the 3 o'clock cash code word, and you text it to 72881, 72881, and you might, just might win $1,000 in the WBEN Entercom cash code contest. So this hour's word is sand, S-A-N-D. Text it to 72881. Good luck. Hope you win from News Radio 930 WBEN. So people are not going to vape shops anymore as the first stop or the first step in quitting smoking. So hypothetically, I think that means that people who wanted to quit smoking and were planning on using vaping devices and vaping liquids to get off of combustible cigarettes have basically resigned themselves to either continuing to smoke cigarettes or trying some other modality in order to quit smoking. But it's almost, one almost gets the feeling, based on the people with whom we have spoken, that current smokers who had been considering going the vape route to quit smoking don't want to start something that very well might not be around after the next few weeks. As you know, Governor Cuomo issued his moratorium on flavored vapes and stuff, and that moratorium had the kibosh put on it by a court, and the flavors are still being sold, and we're not going to know anything until October 18th. The stay on the governor's order is only good for another few days. I mean, here we are. It's already the 16th of October. So I'm presuming we're going to get one word or another from Albany within the next couple of days regarding the future of the vaping industry and your ability to score vaping products here in New York State. But this leads me to another question, and this is where we may or may not get off of the vaping thing. So youth smoking right now is at its lowest reported rate ever. Okay, that's the good news. Fewer kids are picking up smoking combustible cigarettes. I don't know how many of the kids who are not smoking combustible cigarettes are smoking something else that we used to call wacky tobacco, a.k.a. weed. I don't know if that has supplanted cigarette as the inhalant of choice in the combustible community. I don't know. But my question to you is, how exactly were you able to quit smoking? People have said over the years that quitting smoking is harder than giving up heroin. Well, I've never done heroin, so I'm not in a position to say. But how hard can it be when millions of people every single year give up smoking? And let's face it, usually if you're going to quit smoking, it takes a few times before you get it right. You know, sometimes you'll quit for a week and you'll relapse. Sometimes you might quit for a few months and you relapse. And then once you have that first cigarette, after you've had those mixed drinks or your beers, because you like to smoke and drink, or maybe have coffee and a cigarette, once you have that one, it's very, very easy to relapse and become a cigarette smoker again. So in that millions of people have actually quit the cigarette habit, which is no good. It's not good, obviously. I'm not going to preach here. You know all this stuff. It ain't good for your lungs. It really is not good for your coronary artery system or your heart. It's bad news. Smoking is just, what can I say? It's bad news. And I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I do enjoy my two cigars a month. Sometimes fewer than two cigars a month. But there's something about having a glass of Southern Comfort in one hand, a great cigar in the other hand, as I hover over a charcoal fire cooking raw red meat into a black, unrecognizable mass of ash. So how did you quit? I mean, first of all, did you set up a quit date? Because they always say, set up a quit date and then follow through. What did you use? Did you use nicotine replacement therapy? Did you use the patch? Did you use nicotine lozenges? Did you use the gum? And with all respect to the people who make the nicotine gum, what I found with the nicotine gum is that wasn't a good option, because just like spearmint or juicy fruit, you put the gum in your mouth and you take the first 10 or 20 chews, and it's like all the nicotine gets out of the gum and into your system, and then you basically are chewing plain gum. Like, you get that one burst of nicotine when you first put it into your mouth, and after that, it's kind of dead, you know, like juicy fruit, as I said before. Ooh, juicy fruit. Oh, there it goes. It's kind of like that with Nicorette. Nicotine lozenges are an option for you. And the nice thing about nicotine lozenges is you can put them in your mouth. You can let them dissolve over a period of time. You don't chew them. You don't crunch down on them. You let them just dissolve in your mouth, and it gives you that steady, continuous stream of nicotine that your body needs, and also weans you away from the feeling of needing to get up and have a cigarette, of needing to get up, and, you know, that whole routine you have when you have a pack of cigarettes, pounding the cigarettes on the table, which I never understood, opening the pack, getting the cellophane off of it, getting that tin foil off of the first cigarette, reaching into the box and pulling out. I mean, it does become a routine. And the routine thing is what is very, very hard to break. Now, you might have had a pharmaceutical assistance with quitting smoking. Chantix, for example, is something that I've heard people have used to get off of cigarettes, as well as Wellbutrin and some of the other drugs in that class of medications. How did you quit smoking, and how difficult was it? 803-0930. And you might, by the way, hate to mention this again, but you might actually have used and continue to be using vaping to quit smoking. I mean, or you might actually have gone cold turkey. Just totally separate yourself, divorce yourself from your body and nicotine altogether, and just be done with the whole thing right then and there. Now, there are people who have gone cold turkey. Oh, and there is also the patch, which people wear, which is a transdermal way to obtain your nicotine. when I was quitting smoking, I used the patch for a few days, and what I found is that it gave me the most bizarre dreams at night. Seriously, it was weird, but that's another story altogether. 803-0930, how did you quit smoking? And I want to raise this because a lot of people, I've been told, have been using vaping to get off of combustible cigarettes, but it is my opinion that that is probably not going to be an option that much longer. I don't see good days ahead for the vaping industry. I think, unfortunately, its days are numbered. And unfortunately, I believe they're numbered for no good or logical reason. It is 323-803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to, is it Anne Marie in Buffalo or just Marie?
Hi, it's Amory.
Amory, okay.
Yeah, I quit smoking in 2017. I was actually overseas, and I was smoking more than I ever did in my life. I think it was just the environment. And they offered free nicotine counseling, and they used nicotine patches. And I didn't smoke again for almost 6 months. And when I came home, I did relapse. I saw my old smoking buddies home again. But that lasted only a short while, and I was able to kick the habit.
Once you got back stateside, did you quit the habit cold turkey?
Yeah, when I got home, I ended up doing it cold turkey. I thought about doing the nicotine patches again, but they're a little pricey. So I was fortunate to have them for free the first time. And, I don't know if it's considered cold habit, but my boyfriend said he'd break up with me if I kept smoking. So,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That was also some motivation.
Oh, you know what? Smoking is right up there on the list in the dating world of major turnoffs for a lot of people. I know people, both men and women, it doesn't matter any other qualities somebody has. Doesn't matter how good looking they are. Doesn't matter what a wonderful person they are. If they smoke, they are just not in the running.
Yeah, it was going to be a deal breaker. Plus, since I had already gone so long without it, I just think he was confused. Like, why did you go back to it? It's terrible for you. It's terrible for your health. It's terrible for the people around you too.
So I got to ask you the question, Amory. And here's the question: when you quit smoking and you did it for good, how about the weight gain?
It didn't really affect me that much. I don't know if it's just because I'm still in the military. I try to keep healthy habits, and I was aware that there was possible weight gain, so I was more conscious about just what I was eating and my activity level. I didn't replace it with anything. I didn't replace it with heavy drinking or anything else, so that's good.
Well, good for you. Glad you quit, and we'll see what other people did to quit cigarettes. And, of course, thank you for serving the country.
Oh, well, thank you. Have a good day.
Will do. There's Amory calling in. How did you quit smoking? And one of the reasons I'm doing this is we'd like to hear some other options that have actually worked for people because, as I said, I don't think vaping is going to be around much longer as a legal business in New York and possibly the rest of the country, given what is going on now. I mean, you can almost see what is coming down the pike. Right now, those of you who have quit smoking, how did you do it? Those of you who have tried but failed to quit smoking, what have you been doing? And I wonder how many people out there listening were going to try to quit smoking by vaping instead, but given recent developments, why start something you might not be able to finish? Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. It's John in Jamestown. John, you're on. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
Very well, sir.
Yeah, I started as a kid. Go back quite a few years, but I quit in 1976 right before, because I knew I was going into the Navy. I was trying to get into diving. So I was trying over and over for the whole year, and every time I went out of my way to try and quit, I'd go a month, month and a half, and then next thing I know, I'd drink a beer or something like that with a friend and pop a cigarette out of his pack and pop it in my mouth. But one night I was drinking with a couple friends, and Buddy asked me for a cigarette, and I tossed him the pack. He pulled one out, lit it up, went to hand it back to me, and I just looked at him and said, "No thanks, keep them. I'm going to quit." And I never smoked a single cigarette after that.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. How about the withdrawal, the nicotine withdrawal?
It didn't bother me. I mean, it was. That's why I said it was kind of weird how I kept forcing myself to try and quit, but just on a whim, I was able to. Didn't have any withdrawals, didn't feel anything weird, but, yeah, it seemed like right before we went off to boot camp, went out drinking with a couple other buddies, and that's when it hit. Was after two beers, I was dying for a cigarette. But I just, you know, that was the only really time that I had the severe urge.
But you fought your way through it, as you need to do when you're giving something up that you like. I mean, you literally have to take it second by second, minute by minute.
Yeah, and I just told myself, nope, you're not doing it. And after about 20 minutes, the urge went away and never came back.
Wow, good for you. No nicotine withdrawal, no nicotine replacement. You just decided you had enough.
But when I did go into boot camp, you know, when they have their smoke breaks in boot camp, you got 30, 40 guys in one room, just, you know, cigarette after cigarette. And being a fresh smoker wasn't that it gave me the urge, but I just couldn't stand the smell when I went into the rooms that they were all smoking in, so I just stayed out of them.
Wow, good for you. All right, that's an unusual story. Maybe. We'll see what other people have to say. Thanks for the call and congratulations. Here's Larry in Cheektowaga on WBEN. Larry, obviously vaping is in the news a lot, but how did you quit smoking?
Okay, approximately 35 years ago, I always promised myself when I was about 36 years ago, 37 years ago, if the carton of cigarettes that I bought would ever went over $10 a carton, I would never buy a carton of cigarettes again. I quit smoking. I went to the store one Saturday morning. They charged me $10.50. I took the cigarettes home, the carton of cigarettes. I put them in the chest of drawers, bottom of my chest of drawers. Never went back to smoking. I went downstairs. My mother says, "Where's your cigarettes?" And I says, "Not, I ain't smoking no more. I quit. I ain't paying over $10 a carton for cigarettes. Next thing you know, I'm going to be paying $15 a carton." And I never smoked till this day.
And what happened to the carton of cigarettes that you bought for $10.50?
My dad gave them away to people that he works with. And I got no money out of the deal. And it didn't bother me anything. And it was a funny thing because I went to the bar then, and I told the guys, because the bartender was asked me where's my cigarettes in there, because that's what we could still smoke in the bar. And I said, "I quit smoking." And everybody started laughing. The guy next to me, he was blowing smoke in my face all night long. Well, needless to say, and I'm sorry to say this, but he passed away. He died of lung cancer. And I'm still here.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Morton Downey Jr., old talk show host from 20 or 30 years ago, was notorious for doing his show and smoking during the entire course of the show. And unfortunately, Mort did not have a very long life and toward the end was very, very sick and very ill and died of lung cancer.
Yeah, but I said I would never pay more than $10 for a carton of cigarettes, and that was it. 50 cents more, and that was it, because I knew next thing was going to be 11 and 12, and nope.
Have you ever thought about how much money you've saved?
I found something else to spend on.
Yeah, that always seems to be a mortal truth, doesn't it?
Then to top that off, 2 years ago, now I quit drinking.
Now I have some doubts about you, sir.
I quit drinking. I did. My health was going a little bit, and I said, "Better quit drinking," and I quit drinking. So it's been a year and a half already, I quit drinking.
So what had you been drinking?
I was drinking beer only.
Ah, beer. Beer only? How many beers a night were you having?
Oh, 12-pack.
Oi. So that's a lot of calories. How much weight have you lost?
A few pounds, not much, because I found other things to do. I eat now.
Well, you know what? It's interesting. It's always something. You went from smoking to drinking to now eating.
I eat a little bit more. You know what I like now? Ice cream.
Oh, who doesn't like ice cream?
I love ice cream. I buy ice cream sandwiches, ice cream suckers.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, anything in moderation, sir. Anything in moderation. But clearly you've got some serious willpower on your side, so I'm sure that if you wanted to give up ice cream, you could give up ice cream. And then you'd probably get hooked on goat meat or something.
People that pay that much for cigarettes now, they're either rich or they're stupid, one or the other.
Well, yeah, if you're smoking a pack a day, you're looking at $10 every single day, $70 a week just to kill yourself.
Yep, for a carton of cigarettes, $70, $80, $90 a week. That's a lot of money.
I mean, I'll be happy to do it for $5,000, you know. Thanks very much. I'm glad you called.
Okay.
803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So we've had a lot of conversations about vaping in the recent shows we've done. In my opinion, this is not fact. This is just my opinion. I think the vaping industry is going to be forced out of business probably entirely or almost entirely. So how did you... How are you, how will you quit smoking? And if you have yet to quit, what have you tried that hasn't worked? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here's Paul in Jamestown. Paul.
Hi, Tom. Bear with me. I have a horrible radio voice.
Not really.
Oh, okay. Hey, January 1st, 2017, I quit smoking after 32 years.
New Year's resolution?
Yeah, but the reason I quit, Tom, it was killing me. I go, if I don't quit, I'm going to die because I couldn't take – my lungs wouldn't fill up with air. I would be working outside, shoveling snow or whatever. You know, I'd get to work and I couldn't breathe, Tom. I go, if I don't quit, I'm going to die. So guess what? January 1st is a New Year's Day. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I said, that's it. I had three cigarettes left in my pack. I said, no more, and I haven't touched them since. Because I knew if I didn't quit, I'm going to die, and who wants to die? I was 51 at the time. I'll be 54 here in December. Yeah, 3 years, January 1st, cold turkey, no more cigarettes.
Yeah, I almost checked out at 54, and believe me, that's not exactly what I wanted out of my life. But as far as you are concerned, how can you describe how much better you feel now without smoking?
I'm able to walk long distances. I don't have the pain in my chest anymore, and my throat used to hurt too. And if I didn't have the pain in my chest or my throat, I would have kept on smoking. But like I said, Tom, if I don't quit, I'm going to die. And who wants to die in the early to mid 50s from cigarettes? Not me.
No, not I either, or of any cause for that matter.
Tire, and if I still feel good, you know, I might pick it up. But we'll see.
Nah, there's no point. There's no point in doing that. Hey, just out of curiosity, given all of the years you presumably spent smoking, have you had a chance to get a health assessment from your general doctor or maybe a cardiologist to make sure that your arteries didn't get too much damage?
No, I'm glad you brought that up. What's your advice? Should I go and get a thorough physical or what should I do?
I am not
3 years in January.
Well, I am not a physician, but I would suggest that you talk to your general practitioner and you explain the situation to your general practitioner and ask if perhaps there's some way you could determine whether or not your arteries became unduly clogged due to your many years of smoking and see what your doctor has to say. Maybe they'll put you through a test, a stress test. Maybe they'll put you through some other diagnostic to make sure that your heart is getting all the blood it needs.
I hear you.
But I'm not a doctor. Please know.
I hear you. One last thing, I'll let you go. Whether it's smoking, drinking, losing weight, people say I can't do it. You know, Tom, I smoked for 32 years. I thought I could never quit. Whatever your vice is in life, if you want to do it, you can. People who say I can't, they don't want to. It comes to a point where, hey, it's either that or die, and it's your choice. See, you know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people have addictive personalities. A lot of people find it very, very difficult to quit something they enjoy doing without thinking about the long-term consequences of what they're doing. But we can take some comfort in hearing from people like you who have actually been able to quit a pretty significant habit, and you feel better for it.
I do.
All right, good for you, man. Thank you very much for the call. 803-0930 is the phone number. How did you quit smoking? And if you have tried but failed to quit, what have you tried that hasn't worked for you? And don't be embarrassed if you have tried quitting smoking 10 times, but you keep going back to it, because that is kind of par for the course. People do relapse. and take it as a learning experience. You figure out why you relapsed, and then you try to avoid that behavior or that group of people with whom you tend to relapse. And if you've got friends who are smokers and you were doing the OP cigarette method, that's usually the first step on the road back to addiction. Here's Larry in Buffalo on WBEN. Larry, how'd you quit smoking?
You talking about Larry in Buffalo?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's me. I quit smoking in 2008. I smoked in earnest for 42 years. I started smoking at the age of 17 and when I went in the military. And that's when I really started smoking. I smoked Camels for 42 years. And every day after I got out of the service, I would go to the same store and buy a pack of cigarettes. In the morning, sometime during that day, I would buy a pack of cigarettes.
Are we talking unfiltered Camels?
Yes.
Oh, my.
The straights. If you're going to smoke a cigarette, smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, I will confess that I didn't mind those myself.
There you go. I also like Cubanos, and I don't smoke those anymore either.
Oh, so you gave up cigars too?
Yeah, with a scotch or a bourbon. In any event, I'd walk in the store sometime in that day, and it was an Arabic store. There'd be a pack of Camels waiting for me with a pack of matches. I'd give him a $5 bill. He'd give me 15 cents change. I'd say, sugar up, and I'd walk out. Well, I walked in on this day in June for my cigarettes. Eye contact was made. My cigarettes were on the counter with the matches, $5. And he says, oh, no. Price of cigarettes just went up. And I said, really? So I'm thinking, well, they're up to $5 now. And I said, how much? And he said, 6 1/4. I said, really? So I said, give me the $5. I took the bill. I put it between my ones and tens, like everybody carries their bills. And he says, you're not buying cigarettes today? I said, no, I just quit. Walked out. Now, here's the rest of the story. Every day for a year after that, I would put $5 away in my drawer until I accumulated a $100 bill, go to the bank, put the $100 bill there. Some days I didn't have the $5, so I'd say, okay, I'll give it to put in 10 tomorrow, and I'd forget, and so I'd make up the difference with a 20.
So very tangibly, you saw the money that you were saving by quitting smoking.
That's right. After a year, I hit $2,200.
Wow. Good for you. And with $2,200, you can buy some pretty good drugs. No, I'm sorry. Bad joke. I'm glad you called. Thank you very much.
I'm 60, so I understand.
All right, Larry, thank you. I got to get to some other folks. No, that's a great story. That is a good technique to quit smoking. Put the money you would have spent on your pack of cigarettes aside, put it in a drawer, and see how it adds up by the end of the month, and you're going to be stunned at, some of you could make a car payment with the money you're spending on cigarettes. If you're just joining us, we've done one or two shows on vaping, and that leads me to ask you the question, how did you quit smoking? How did you do it? And if you're trying, but you have failed, don't look at them as failures. Look at them as learning experiences. And if you want to call in and tell us what you tried and failed to quit smoking, how you did that, and you're looking for answers from somebody else, believe me, this audience has answers, a lot more than I'll ever have. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN, Youngstown, New York, and Erica is on the line. Erica, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
Good. For me, I don't know if this is radio material, but for me it was much more of like a spiritual experience to quit smoking. And before you write me off.
Why would I write you off?
Okay. Any kind of like addiction, like alcohol or drugs, there's a lot of NAAA anonymous type meetings and groups where they have to really examine their life and take a spiritual approach to quitting the addiction. But like smoking is so, mainstream. I don't think people really view it as that. And then they struggle so much trying to quit because it's very difficult, actually.
It's interesting you say that, Erica, because just in my lifetime, I have seen cigarette smoking going from being mainstream to being something that most people are not in favor of and don't really want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, interestingly, as I've noticed an increase in the amount of weed I smell when I go out.
Yeah, same here.
But there's nothing, I would never write you off or anybody off by taking a spiritual centered, grounded approach to quitting smoking or any addiction.
Yeah, it was really like I completely changed my life. I went from hanging around with certain people and drinking and smoking a lot to going to church and saying, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to change the way I view my life and how I value it. And it worked, you know. But this, I will say this. It is easy to get re-addicted again. We had a death in the family that was very difficult. She was young. We were waiting for her to die. Someone had a cigarette. It was stressful. Like, oh, it's going to smoke a cigarette. And, you know, through the funeral and the process, you start to do that. Like, if you're not careful, you can get re-addicted. So I was smoking for like a month during that process and then had to quit all over again. You don't think you're going to get re-addicted, but you do.
Oh, it's so easy. All it takes is one cigarette and you're back in the same boat you were in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're so right. There are so many snares in which we can become entrapped as human beings. I mean, there's cigarettes, alcohol, heroin, mm-hmm. cocaine, mm-hmm. you name it, and people can get addicted to it. And you really have to be on the lookout, and you've got to be your own body's corporal advocate.
Yeah, it's difficult. And so, like, the whole higher power thing that they do in the meetings, it's like they really admit that they're powerless, and they, you know, they have to rely on something else other than their own self. Especially some people, like you said, are more have addictive personalities. I'm more of that type. But some people are super strong. Like, it's over $5. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if you know you have an addictive personality, there's some things you just need to stay away from. Right. Thank you very much, Erica, and good luck to you. Continued success.
Thank you, Deborah.
803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Reports of an accident on Transit Road and Rapids in Lockport. Traffic is apparently at a standstill, and I'm afraid with the weather we have today, we may see a few slowdowns on the drive home. I just have that funny feeling.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.